Good afternoon. This week we're focused on the year in review. We're joined today by Christina Romer, who's the chair of the President's Council of Economic Advisors. I'll be reading the chat and asking your questions, so please keep those questions coming. Dr. Romer?
Well, great. It's wonderful to be here. I always enjoy getting to hear from people and knowing what's going on in your life and giving you a chance to tell you some of what's going on here in the White House. Just as a little bit of an overview, I think we would all have to agree this has been a very tough year for the American people and for the American economy. We know that we entered this year in a terrible recession, and we have been working very hard to turn the economy around since then. It's also been a really important year for economic policy, and I couldn't give you all the things we did, but let me give you just some of the highlights. Very shortly after the president was inaugurated, we passed the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act, the boldest fiscal stimulus in American history. We've done some very important work on financial stability, trying to make sure that our financial system is stable and working for all the American people who need to borrow, the American businesses that need credit to keep producing. We've also put in place programs to help homeowners, responsible homeowners, stay in their homes because we know we've had a terrible problem with foreclosures. There have been lots of smaller programs, too. You know, I think one of the things to realize is it's not just the president puts in place a set of policies and we leave them, right? He's always pushing his economics team to think, could we be doing this better? Could it be working better? So we're constantly thinking of new programs like the Cash for Clunkers program that was so popular this summer and really helped to get the auto industry going again. He's always pushing us to think more about how can we get lending to small businesses because we know they are having a really tough time getting credit, and so that's something we've been working on. You know, I think the important thing to say is the policies absolutely are working. You know, an economy that was truly in free fall last January, this January appears to be growing again. And we certainly have seen that our gross domestic product, that measure of the total amount that we produce, has gone from declining to actually growing in the third quarter of last year, and all the estimates are it's continuing to do that. You know, the Council of Economic Advisors, one of our jobs is to monitor the Recovery Act. And we just put out a report earlier this week that said that as of the end of 2009, we thought that it had saved or created some 2 million jobs. That means that there are 2 million people that are working today that wouldn't have been working without the Recovery Act. And that is an important part of the turnaround that we are seeing in the economy. The president has always been so careful to say is that we know this isn't enough, that even though the economy is doing better, even though we've seen job loss that in the early part of 2009 was some 691,000 jobs per month, it's now, as of the last report, down to 69,000 jobs per month. That's still not good. We're still losing jobs. That's not what any of us want, right? The president knows that what we need desperately is strong, positive job growth. But it is important to realize that it is a change. And what the president keeps saying is, what more can we do? How can we get that kind of robust job growth? And that's why earlier in December, he put forward some other things that he thinks we need to do for jobs. Everything from more investment in infrastructure, to more help for small businesses, to encourage them to hire, to an incentive program to get people to retrofit their homes for energy efficiency. We think that'd be something that would be good for the homeowner, good for the environment, and good for the economy. So it's an evolving process, but one that, as I said, I'm anxious to talk about with you. So let's turn it over to questions.
Okay, the first question is from Zingo Andrew, who many of you have talked about the fee on banks that was announced yesterday by the administration, and Zingo Andrew writes, God bless Obama, I hope he gets back all of the taxpayer money. So, Dr. Romer?
Well, that's exactly what he is working to do. You know, the law that set up the TARP program that was important for holding the financial system together at the end of 2008 and in early 2009 did say that, you know, the American taxpayer was not to be on the hook for a single dime for the actions that needed to be taken to stabilize the financial system. And the president takes that responsibility very seriously. And that's why yesterday, as Nan just pointed out, he did put out a plan for imposing a fee on the biggest financial institutions to make sure that the American taxpayer we do get our money back. And that is, I agree, absolutely important. You know, the financial system, it was the right thing to do to step in. It was what we had to do to hold the economy together. But from those that have gotten extraordinary assistance, they need to be the ones to be paying it back. And the president is committed to that. I think the other thing to say is, you know, this fee has another benefit in the sense that it's being imposed again on the liabilities of the biggest banks, so a measure of their size. We think it has an added benefit of having good incentive effects, of encouraging them to be less risky, to not be so large that their failure would threaten the entire system. So we think it is a sensible fee, not only for paying back the taxpayer, but also for helping the system to work better. And here, I just have to mention, you know, this is a piece of what the president's doing to help taxpayers, to help the financial system work better. It's just a tiny piece. I mean, one of the things that he has felt so strongly about is, at the same time that we're cleaning up this mess that we all know we've been through, it's important to put in place changes that will prevent it from happening again. And that is why he has made financial regulatory reform a key priority, because we know that there was a breakdown in our regulatory system. That's a big part of why we ended up with a crisis in our financial sector and why we now are still digging out from this terrible recession. And so he put forward a very concrete proposal to Congress of, these are the things that we need to do to make us safe for the next generation and the generation after that. And he's working very hard. A bill has already passed the House of Representatives. We're now turning to the Senate, and the president will be playing a key leadership role, because he feels passionately we owe this to the American people. We need to take the crisis that we've been through, learn from it, and put in place reforms that will help to prevent it from happening again.
There are a number of questions today about housing and the housing market. Mm-hmm. Leah Wall in Florida says that she's getting close to foreclosure, unfortunately, and she is wondering what kind of help she can receive from the government. She's a hardworking person with a family who can barely make it. And Bob Brune writes, will the Obama economic team come up with solutions to stave off the coming tide of foreclosures? So, Dr. Romer, what is the administration working on with respect to housing?
Again, absolutely central. And it really does go to the degree to which this crisis has been so multifaceted that it is, you know, we know it had an important aspect in the financial markets, but housing has really been at the heart of it. I mean, part of what happened is that initial decline in housing prices helped to generate much of the crisis. And now it is absolutely affecting so many homeowners. You know, it's something that from very early we put forward a program to help responsible homeowners like the person we've been talking about stay in their home. So it's a program using some of those TARP funds that we've gotten back from the banks that are there as a cushion. We said, let's put them to use for the American people. And so we have a program that helps responsible homeowners that are in a difficult situation to have lower payments so that they should be more able to stay in their homes, make the payments, and not go into foreclosure. You know, this is another great place, though, where I think it is important to point. I can't tell you the number of times the president has said, well, I know we put in place a housing program. Would you look at it again? Are we doing enough? Is there something more we could be doing? Could it be working better? And that's something we're very much working on and focused on right now is, does more need to be done? Is there a way that we could make even more people eligible for this? And so I think that is going to be an important thing going forward.
Another, many of you have also asked a lot of questions about small business. Kevin Barron in particular writes, if we're going to talk about the economy and jobs, then we need to focus on small business issues. Dr. Romer, can you talk a little bit about what's the administration is doing in that area?
I can. And again, you know, the president feels exactly the same way. You know, one of the things, you know, as you might guess, he gets thousands of letters every day, but his staff make sure that he sees a good chunk of them so that he gets a sense of, just as I'm getting from your questions, a sense of what people are going through. And, you know, he gets so many letters from small business owners telling him, for example, how hard it is for them to get credit. And that's one reason, you know, in the Recovery Act, we had a substantial increase in funding for the Small Business Administration for their loan program to try to help that. Back in October, we again were thinking about how can we take this TARP program that originally was being used to help a lot of the big systemically important banks, how can we use that more for Main Street? And one of the things that we know is that the main people that lend to small businesses are small banks. And so having a program where we tried to get some of that capital into small banks so that they'll feel more able to loan. And you know, that's something, again, that we're working on, thinking about expanding as a way of trying to make sure that small business owners can get credit. We're also working, you know, that very successful SBA program from the Recovery Act actually expired at the end of 2009. We got legislation to continue it, and that's something we'll also be working on because we do think that's working for small businesses. But you know, the president's had lots of other ideas in this area. I'll go back to the jobs forum that we had in early December. He identified as one of his priorities for jump-starting private sector job creation, doing more for small businesses. So he talked, for example, about some loan incentives for investment, because we want to encourage small businesses who tend to be technological leaders, a real source of innovation. We want to make sure that they have some incentives for doing even more investment, because when they grow their businesses, they grow jobs. The other thing he's talked about is the jobs tax credit for small businesses. Is there something that we can do to say, you know, these are businesses that are probably saying, I'm seeing demand start to come back. Maybe a year from now, I'll start doing some hiring. If we gave them some tax incentives, might they say, well, I was going to hire in 2011. Let me hire in 2010. We know that would be good for them, good for the economy, good for workers that get jobs. So that's something else that he's talked about. But small businesses are a place where we are very much focused and really, I think, have some exciting ideas.
Well, as you can imagine, not everybody on this chat is a huge fan. So Thomas Free writes, the only economic plan this bunch has is to punish achievement, demonize the private sector, and redistribute wealth. Dr. Romer, how do you answer some of the critics of the administration?
Tell them that what he was saying just isn't true. I think that if you listen to the president, if you listen to any member of his economics team, we have the deepest respect for the market system. We know that it has served this country incredibly well. You know, all that we were just talking about is small businesses. We love to see small businesses succeed. We love to see big businesses succeed. I think the main thing that is important is to realize that there are times when things don't work well. If anything, this recession is a major example of what happens when the private sector either can't get credit because we've been through a financial crisis, or when they lose their confidence and stop wanting to spend or invest or hire people. And so there is absolutely a crucial role for government at a time of crisis. There's also a crucial role for government in setting the rules of the road. We know that even in a well-functioning market economy, there are tensions, there are market failures. You know, in financial markets, you can see explicitly how important it is that we have rules of the road so that consumers are protected, so that firms interact fairly with one another, that there's plenty of competition. All of those are appropriate roles for government. But you know, the president, I've heard him on a number of times, even in talking about you know, people earning a good salary, firms earning earning profits. All of that is, you know, again, a part of a good market system. But the important thing is that it be working well for everybody, for the economy as a whole, for workers, and obviously for the owners.
There have been a number, you know, in that same vein that Thomas Free raises, a number of folks on the blog who have suggested that the administration has done more for big banks than they have for average people. And how do you answer that concern?
Well, the main thing to say is I think if you look at our record, we've done a tremendous amount. The focus has from the very beginning been on the American people, on American workers, on making this whole economy work better. So if you think about the Recovery Act, that was our sort of one of our most important actions, fundamentally designed to create demand, to make investments in the economy. We gave 95% of Americans, working families, a tax cut so that they'd have more money to spend to help jumpstart the economy, right? All of that action, everything we've been doing for homeowners, as we're coming back to the foreclosure issue, all of that has been focused on ordinary folks, making sure they have a job, they can stay in their home, they can provide for their families, which is, of course, what we all want. In terms of helping the banks, I mean, I think one of the things you have to realize is, the financial system, it's kind of the circulatory system for the economy. That what we learned last fall is when it breaks down, things grind to a halt. And so even the actions that we have taken to try to stabilize the banking system, to help the big banks, was always fundamentally not about them. It was about all of the people, the collateral damage, if you want, that when that system, if that system went down, it's not the banks, it's not just the banks that suffer, it would be every single one of us. So even what may seem like a program to help big banks, that was never why we did it. It was to keep the economy from going over the edge of the cliff and fundamentally to turn it around so it works for the ordinary people that need a job, that need a home, that need to be able to do all the things they want to do.
That last question, by the way, was from Benjamin Bowers. I forgot to mention that piece of it. So another question that is a thread through this is also one that comes from Crystal Lutard. She says, why isn't the administration looking for ways to cut spending in government? Can you elaborate on the sort of deficit reduction measures that the administration is looking at?
Absolutely. No, first we've got to address the deficit because we all know that we had a substantial deficit, even before the recession. And then with the recession, the deficit has gotten substantially bigger. And so we do have a problem. There's no question about that, and something that we absolutely have to deal with. And again, that's an important priority for the president. On the spending side, he is absolutely, one of the first things he did is to tell our OMB director, the Office of Management and Budget, Peter Orszagd, go through that budget line by line. And they did, and they identified, I think, it's some $17 billion that we could cut. We all know that that's not enough and we need to do more. And I think as you'll see, as we roll out our budget for the next fiscal year, there's going to be some really very substantial trying to hold back on spending, looking for those cuts. The other thing, right now on the floor of the U.S. Congress, we are talking about what's probably the most important action we could take on the budget deficit, and that is healthcare reform, because any expert will tell you, if you look at budget projections, the number one thing that causes a lot of red ink as you get out 10, 20, 30 years from now, it's what the federal government is spending on healthcare. And it's what all of us are spending on healthcare, because healthcare costs are rising so rapidly. And so one of the things that the president has done in thinking about all the ways that we want to improve our healthcare system, we want to make it work better for both people who don't have insurance now and those that do and are always feeling a little bit insecure about whether that insurance will be there when they need it. What he said is at the same time we're doing that, we're improving quality, improving our delivery systems, we have to look seriously at slowing the growth rate of costs. And I think when people look at these bills as they've come out of the House and the Senate, and now they're working on a compromise, you're going to see serious focus on long-term deficit reduction and on slowing the growth rate of costs. And that is something that's going to help the government a lot in terms of its long-run budget situation. But it helps every one of us, because if we slow the growth rate of healthcare costs, that's going to be so important for our standards of living. Right now, workers are seeing, they may be getting more productive, they may be getting more total compensation from their firms, But a big chunk of that is going to just pay for their health benefits, because the cost of health insurance has been rising right along with healthcare costs. And so if we don't slow the growth rate of costs, all of us are going to start seeing our take-home pay grow slower and slower and finally level out over time, because just a bigger and bigger chunk of what we have to spend is going to go for healthcare. So this is a winner for the budget. It's a winner for families that are always wondering how they're going to make ends meet. We just simply have to slow the growth rate of healthcare costs, and that's why this legislation is so incredibly important.
Another group of questions that we've been getting on the blog today have to do with another sort of transformative policy initiative, which is transforming the economy to a clean energy economy. Michelle Long writes, "We really need to implement going green to activate jobs and create ongoing income." Do you want to speak a little bit to the initiatives that the administration is working on?
Absolutely, because we do know, I love the way the question was asked, because it's a two-part program, right? We know we have a problem with climate change, with greenhouse gas emissions that we need to deal with, right? And we also need to be part of the way of dealing with that is growing the new cleaner energy economy. And so that's been something that we think is so incredibly important. The main thing I talk about is how we've already started that process through the Recovery Act. The idea of the Recovery Act was, of course, fundamentally put people back to work. How do we get enough spending in the economy so that firms see demand, they produce, they hire workers, right? That was the big idea. That's why we did things like a tax cut, as I mentioned, for 95% of American families. That's why we did help to state governments so that they didn't cut their services and cut their spending and lay people off. But the president certainly told us last year is, well, while you're designing this, don't just spend money, to try to prop up the economy, spend it in a good way, right? There's lots of things we need to do for the economy. We need to be spending money to help turn it around. But the important thing is, while you're doing that, let's accomplish something. And one of his big things that he wanted to accomplish was, as we've been talking about, this transition to a cleaner economy. This is a chance to jumpstart that what we know is going to be an industry of the future. And the Council of Economic Advisors, as I mentioned, just did a report on the Recovery Act, but a big chunk of it, and you can go look at it on our website, is about what was done for clean energy. And here I'll just give you a number. The overall Recovery Act was some $787 billion of that. Well, our analysis shows about $90 billion of that, so about a tenth of it, went into clean energy. And it's everything from weatherization, kind of low tech, let's just make homes more energy efficient, right up to alternative energy manufacturing, to research and development, to modernizing the electrical grid, just a fundamental investment in this sector of the American economy. And we think it is going to pay dividends in two ways. Obviously, it's going to help us transform into a cleaner economy, and we all, I think, would agree that that's good. The other side is it's creating jobs. So our numbers say that the spending that's been done already has probably saved or created some 63,000 jobs, most of those in the clean energy part of the economy. But it's something that's going to be ramping up over time. A lot of these programs involve competitive grants and a lot of careful evaluation, and so they're starting to really ramp up a lot. We think by 2012 that this part of the Recovery Act could have saved or created some 700,000 jobs. So that's something that we think is going to be, it's obviously good for workers, good for the environment, good for the economy more generally, as it transitions to this new kind of clean energy economy.
I think we have time for one last question. And honestly, as I read through this entire thread, the issue number one has been jobs. And Chet Y writes, "Jobs need to be the administration's job one. It's time to repair America's infrastructure and to make it energy efficient, put Americans work to bring back America." And you've talked a lot about jobs, but let's just make that the last word.
Well, it's appropriate because I will tell you, you know, the economics team meets with the president just about every day. And no matter what we're talking about, I think the message always gets through to us, well, that's very interesting, tell me about jobs. And that it's that has been his focus from the day he took office, and it is what has been our focus. And so I couldn't agree more that it is job number one. It is has been and will continue to be. I do want to emphasize that, you know, the president has put forward what he thinks are some appropriate policies for this stage in the recovery. You know, everything we've been doing is about jobs, is about getting people back to work. Well, now that you're starting to see some improvement in the economy, in employment, for example, the one place you're seeing a lot of gains in employment is in temporary help employment. That's telling us that firms are starting to say, well, you know, I'm not sure I'm ready to hire a full-time or you know, a regular worker, but I've got some demand, I'm going to hire a temporary worker. Well, at that point, as we're starting to recover, are there concrete actions that we can take to make that private sector jump in with both feet and really start hiring in a big way? And that's what the president's been talking about, by doing things like more investments in infrastructure, by having the program I talked about that goes by the name of Cash for Caulkers, right? That's trying to give homeowners an incentive to do some energy retrofits. Maybe a jobs tax credit for small businesses to get them to jump in with both feet. The president's talked about, again, state governments. We know their budgets are in just a terrible situation. They are really struggling. And so maybe more help for the states as a way of making sure that we keep teachers in the classroom, first responders on the job, state services up, and at the same time holding up the economy at the state and local level. So there are lots of actions that we've certainly been working on, that we've been talking to Congress about, and I think as they get back into session, this is going to have to be a top priority.
Well, thank you, Dr. Romer, and thank you all for your great questions. We appreciate it.
Thank you.